Blog Talk Radio.
Well, hello, and welcome to The Zone. I am your host, Minister Thomas Miracle. And I just want to say welcome. And I'm hoping and praying and believing that it's working. But I don't know. I keep having all these glitches and all these problems. So we just keep trying to get through them, I reckon. I'm grateful to God. Well, the main thing is, no matter what is the problem, what's most important is, and we just know we're in the right direction and we keep moving forward. So, I'm once again going to discuss how the zone started and where it began in the green. Actually, almost 40 years ago. And I'm hoping this time this thing working. I'm trying to adjust the other computer so I get a better understanding of what's happening. Let's talk about the zone. Anyhow, the zone, as you can see, is spelled Z-O-A-N. And this took place about 4 years ago, close to 40. I had a dream, you know, I was just a young baby in Christ setting up in the world. And you know, everybody wants to be used of God in such a way, in a great, mighty way. And I was no different. You know, and I wanted to be used in the women's ministry, and I wanted to be used, you know, mightily in the science movement, along with the support of everybody else. I believe that with all my heart. Everybody wants to be used. And I had a dream, and in this dream I was in this field, and in this field I was, you know, praying, and I'd done it before. I get off the board and go pray in this field right by the school, you said that when I was a kid, and I started praying, and all of a sudden all the clouds started coming, and I figured it's going to rain, and it sure did rain, but it was raining fire. And this fire was hitting me, and it was burning. You know, I could feel it. And I thought, you know what? This is not the right place to be at this time. It's time to find shelter. So I ran to the school, got underneath, you know, where the doors are. They got the brick wall. I don't know what they call them, overhangs. And the fire was going right through them. I thought I was safe there. The fire still was going through them. And well, you know, this ain't the place to be either. So, and the fire now would hit the asphalt pavement, playground, and make a burning path and follow me. And so I kept running and running, trying to avoid being burned again. and finally, I was able to stopped real fast, and the planes went right by me, and I started going in a different direction. And what took place was that I ended up in a place in the part of the school where there's no way out. You know, the doors are locked, and I was in a little area, and there's nowhere to go. I was trapped myself. And I remember my sister was in there, and she was crying, and I said to her, I said, don't be afraid, you know, little one, because God said that in His words, say there's angels, there's just a flame of fire. And so I said to the Lord, I said, Lord, this be You, you know, let me be able to hold the flame. And I felt my spirit, yeah, go ahead. And so I did, I grabbed it. I knelt down and grabbed these flames that were, you know, on the ground. And when I grabbed them, they began to look like, you know, cloven tongues of fire. And I said, Lord, I receive. And as soon as I said, Lord, I receive, they all went into my chest area. And I felt such a anointing of power flow through me. And I just, you know, after that, I was walking away from the school and thinking, what just happened here? What's going on? And I kept on thinking about it. And as I was leaving, I saw this, I believe it was a limo pulled up, big white limo. And this boy I knew, he was in it, and he was dressed all in white. And he said, very strange to me, he said, so that you know this is the word of the Lord, call me known. I can't do that. He said, call me known. And so I said, known. And the next word that came out of his mouth was, so be it done unto you. And the dream ended, just like that. You know, and I just woke right up, and I'm like, what just happened? You know, I thought I slept the day through, but, you know, I still had time, you know, the Sunday morning, I still had time to get to, you know, church. And I knew already, you know, that when God speaks, whether through dreams or visions to people, to individuals, or whether He speaks a word, you know, to an individual through another individual, that He always will confirm what He's saying by His word. And there's always something that will be like a trigger point to it. There's a certain word that confirms this is God speaking to you. And so I knew that that word that I'm looking for was the zone. And at first I didn't even know how to spell it. And I thought, you know, it can't be Z-O-N-E. I kept looking for it and Z-O-A-N. I said, okay, fine. Call me zone. So I looked and looked. I took me at least over a year, year and a half, almost two, before I finally found it. And when I found it, it's in the book of Isaiah, I believe, and it's also in the book of Psalms. And you know, further investigation and going deeper into this, and in fact, the Holy Spirit showed me that. As in fact, reading the Bible, and I went to the map just for the, I just went to it, and I went over there, and it was amazing because I saw that the word was in parentheses under the word Ramesses, and of course, this is the place. Where is which is called the land of Goshen, but in the Hebrew it's called Zone, and in Egyptian the name is Ramesses. This is the place which you all probably all know is the place that where none of the 10 plagues even came touched. It only affected the Egyptians and the country, but it did not affect the land of Goshen. It did not affect the zone. And the interesting thing about zone is that this is the starting point, actually, where the children were in bondage to Pharaoh in Egypt. This is the place where God was protecting and God was keeping His own. And all the things that were going on with all the plagues and everything that was happening, they were not affected by them. And This is also the place where they were set free. This is the starting point of their pilgrimage journey from bondage into the promised land. Of course, we all know that, you know, when God had them wanting to go over the River Jordan and possess the land that he had ordained for them to give them, that because of unbelief, they were not allowed to go. And it took another 40 years, you know, before the children of Israel got to cross over to the promised land. But the interesting thing is that it all started in its home. And so I truly believe that this, what the Lord is trying to say to me, you know, through all this time, was simply that, and I didn't get it for a while, but then when I saw the map, I started understanding it. Like, I want my people to be set free from sin and bondage. And I want them to realize that I'm taking them home. I'm taking them to the promised land, and they need to get ready for the journey. They need to prepare for the journey. And by preparing it, by reading the word and seeking the Lord and praying, you know, and living, you know, according to the word of God. And I thought that's just going to be very appropriate, you know, for the broadcasting call of the zone, because it ties in with another dream the Lord gave me in 2010, which was is titled Storm Warning the Dream. And I received that in 2010, about a year after I ended up having to go on medical work. I was fasting and prayer, trying to find out what God's will was and trying to find out what direction I now have to go, because my lungs became sensitized because the secondhand and thirdhand smoke, and working as a robot operator in a steel mill, that all those combinations put me in a situation where my lungs were sensitive, that even anything could put me in asthmatic arrest. But, you know, I don't want to continue on with this story, but the point was that, you know, when you're in that kind of situation, you're trying to find out what God's will is. You know, you're making big time money, and you're wondering, Lord, you know, what's the plan? You know, when is my healing, and, you know, when does the miracle take place, and when do I go back to work? And it wasn't to be. And I remember I got the dream, and I woke up. I woke up out of I was like in a cold sweat, and I mean, I just come right out of sleep, like I never slept. And so the thing that I felt was interesting was that I wasn't even asking for this kind of message. I wasn't asking for this dream. And of course, when I received it, I thought, are you talking about me? Is there something I'm not doing that's not pleasing you? Am I telling you in some regard that you're trying to tell me that I need to straighten up? You know, and I really thought it was a lot about me. And I sought the Lord, and I sought the Lord over it, because it really shook me. It shook me from the very foundation, you know, from the top of my head, the sole of my feet, however you want to say it, from the inside out. It shook me. I never had a dream like that brought me to a place of realization of a concern that I never saw such a reality to the dream of what word I want to use here, of things that are about to happen are going to take place soon. And so I was going to share a little bit about that with you while we still have some time we're going to address this. But the thing I wanted to talk about too is, you know, if you need prayer, you know, you can call in and we'll pray. Or I'm on Facebook. I'm the Thomas Miracle. You'll see the I Stand With Israel sign. That's my picture. And there's three groups that I'm lead administrator in, and that's storm warning, which is up in green. And then there's Native American Christ, and then there's a prayer group. And you can leave your prayer request there. You know, you become a Facebook friend of mine, and even, you know, on my wall, we'll definitely pray, and we'll send it to the other groups, and they can pray, you know, for whatever they need according to God's will, and they believe with you. Well, anyhow, and of course, if I can find it, which I should know by heart by now, but I don't, we have a P.O. box, and you can send that to the P.O. box if you prefer. And the P.O. box number is 6261, Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. That's P.O. box 6261, Goodyear, Arizona, 85338. So just to get back into what we were discussing a little bit earlier about the dream, I'm gonna go into a little bit of it tonight with you on this time on the podcast, and share a little bit what I could share with you. But this is how it came out in writing. And I truly believe the writing was of the Holy Spirit. I just tried to, it was really typing, you know, and then we got it and were able to post it, you know, so that we could have it later. And it was amazing because it didn't all come at one time. The Holy Spirit brought it in pieces, parts. And so I will share that with you later on. But this is what was in the dream of the beginning of the share of the Spirit. The dream started with people, and they were complaining about the weather. In some places, it was cold, hot, or raining. So the decision was made to go to the other side and see what is going on over there. And when we got to the other side, we started heading north. And the first thing we see was tornado funnels, and they were not touching the ground yet. And the next wave came, and they were now touching the ground. And now the tornadoes were forming legs and arms, and there was a swarm of tornadoes, like a gigantic army. We believed there was just so many. So we left, but now they were branching off, and some were following off. I said, we need to separate so we might escape. I ended up in a transparent glass-like room with other people in it. I thought I'd be safe in there. Now the tornadoes were targeting individuals, and the tornadoes would go and smash through and get to the individual, and they would be destroyed. I said, I'm not staying in this room. I went out, and I saw what looked like something sucking the lifeblood out of a person. I said, I'm not staying here. So I ran back into the transparent glass room. I saw that I had been spotted. So I hurried to close the door, and this creature tried to open the door. I was able to close the door and lock it, and then I realized the other door was open, so I ran as fast as I could to the other door and before the creature could get there, and I closed it and locked it, and then the appearance, what looked like appearance of a white person, a tall white person, was next to me, and then the dream ended. I mean, you get a dream like that, you know, it'll rock your world. It'll shake you up, you know. And you're like, and I know it did me. I like, what's going on here? I'm not asking for this. I don't want to know. I don't want to know this. What is this all about? Saying, God, I need an end time message. God, I need to give a warning to the body of Christ or anything like that. I wasn't looking for that at all. And then here it's you know, I get this, and I, like I said, I sought the Lord over this, and I couldn't get an answer. I couldn't get an answer, and I was really getting frustrated because I'm like, okay, God, you know, you're saying something, but I'm not getting it. I'm not catching on to this. And so the thing was, about 2 or 3 months later, I finally, you know, I got an answer from the Lord about it. And it was in a church where I was an associate pastor in Church of God in Christ in Toledo, Ohio, Prayer Tower. And the pastor, I think, was preaching, and I was just sitting, waiting and listening, for what I need, listening to the word and whatever the Holy Spirit is leading me to do. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit said, "This is the interpretation of the dream." And I'm like, "What? How are we getting on this now?" And I listened, intently to what the Holy Spirit was saying, and so I'll share that with you. I said, so I asked the Lord, "What does the dream mean?" And I didn't get the answer like I shared with you for about 3 months. Then on a Sunday morning, I got these verses: Habakkuk chapter 1, verses 1 through 11, and Jeremiah chapter 39, verses 1 through 10. And Holy Spirit said, "This is the interpretation of the dream." And as you know, these verses talk about God bringing judgment to Israel. And in Jeremiah, we see in the 39th chapter that judgment has now come to pass. The Holy Spirit of God told me to warn his people there is a storm coming to America, and the signs of the storm are already here. And as you know, Satan is launching all out assault. We see it in the economy, gas, oil prices, and food, and other items rising. Some say we are in a recession and possibly heading into a depression. And our immorality is running rampant. Drug cartels in and around our borders. Muslim extremist groups trying to bring Sharia law to America and make America an Islamic nation. And it's slaughtering innocent lives, and they call it pro-choice, but God calls it murder. Determined to bring America to a new world order. You have to consider the source of who is behind, all this, and that's the devil. The church in America and America is in trouble. We need to wake up. Our God-given rights, our freedoms are being taken away right before our very eyes. America and all the other countries need to repent and ask for forgiveness of sins and ask for mercy and let Jesus Christ be Savior and Lord. There's a storm coming, and those who are ready will be ready. And like I said, this is 2010. This dream was given. This ain't no 2015. Oh, let's pick up all the things that's happening and say, this does say the Lord, I see this and that. No. This was 2010 before all that's happening now in 2015. That wasn't happening. You know what I'm saying? In other words, this ain't time where, well, I'm just going to make up something real quick and throw it out there to the people and they're going to. And say, that's not prophecy, and that's why I know that this the storm way, the dream is a dream, is a dream of prophecy. It's God warning his people and America, you better get right with me, and the church, you better wake up and start living right before me. And I'll never forget when I was in Arizona, I think about 6 months after the dream, maybe, no, probably take that back a little bit longer. 2000. I think it was 2010, the end of 2010. I was in church, was in worship service at the time, Sunday morning, in worship, and I saw America, and America was all surrounded with all blackness. All blackness around every border, everywhere, north, south, east, west. There was. Blackness, total darkness. And this darkness, it looked like termites, and they started eating the borders and working their way to the center of America, the heart of America. And as they moved, it became black. And I'm like, why am I seeing this? What is this all about? Look, right now what's happening in 2015 with all this border crossing and all these other things going on where, let everybody cross over and we know that, there's people in America, that aren't good. I mean, don't have no good intentions for America, I'll just put it that way. And they're here. And if we think we're they're not, we're only fooling ourselves. And remember, this was 2010, and now it's happening. And now you hear ministers, we need to shields up and all this other stuff. And the Lord said, God was speaking already, and he was not even speaking to me. He's been speaking through ministers in the prophetic, back in 1960. I've read some stuff, about, can't remember the brother's name right now, but he was like, saying the same thing that almost the dream was about. But And I'm like, wow, this is really similar. And I'm sure that, God is speaking to other ministers and letting them know. But the body of Christ needs to realize that, this is the time to arise, out of our sleep and to wake up and do what we're called to do, and spend time in prayer and spend time in the Word and spend time seeking the Lord. Because this nation is in troubled water and it's sinking fast. I mean, you look around, you can see that our freedoms are gradually, slowly being taken away. People that are in leadership, they not just one person, but many, they lie to us and they say what they want to say, and we don't even hear the truth that's coming out from our leadership of this country. And it's sad. And you've got, immorality, and running rampant. You've got things happening where, they don't mind if you're a Christian, but you better keep your mouth shut. It's amazing to me when I think about, and I look back just in the last 5 years, you can be a Christian, you go to church all you want, but don't you dare start, proclaiming the gospel. Don't you dare start really, letting people know they're in sin and they need to repent and turn to Jesus Christ. And it's amazing how this is all playing itself out. Everybody's coming out of the closet, and they want everybody to come out of the closet, the transgenders and everybody else. But the Christian, we want you in the closet. Well, you know what? Bless God, it's time we tell them it ain't happening. We live in this country, but we serve Jesus Christ. And the kingdom that we belong to is not of this world. And we are followers of the Master and servants of the Most High God. And we're not going to bow down to you or anybody telling us, anything that's contrary to the Word of God. You think whether we're going to do it, because we're not. And we and but and the sad part is, you look at this, what's going on. I mean, look at you. I'll put it bluntly. Abortion almost, oh, I thought like 40 years? And all the babies have been slaughtered and murdered? And God's, he's keeping track. He's keeping count. And this nation says, well, a woman has the right, to do this. Well, God says, no, you don't. It's murder. I created the baby, not you. Oh, yeah, you did what you did. The brain, you have a baby, but now that it has life, it's not your right. And let me tell you something, all you Christian women out there and men, when you say, well, God gives us a choice. Yeah, he gives you a choice. He gives you a choice to accept him as Savior and Lord or not. He gives you a choice to surrender your life to him or not. He gives you a choice to follow him or not. He gives you a choice to do his will or not. Do you understand what I'm saying? The Bible says, and I believe it's Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that you were supposed to present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is a reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Hello? That means you're supposed to present yourself, your body, a living sacrifice. I'll give you another one. All the blood that Jesus Christ spilled when he was here on this earth, when he was being whipped, when he was being beaten, when he was being buffeted, when he was crucified on that cross, all the blood that was spilled, that is holy blood. And that holy blood purchased you from your sin. In other words, he owns you. When you give your life to Jesus Christ, you make him Savior and Lord, he owns you. That's what you're saying. So you say, what's my body? What? Wrong answer. It's my choice. Wrong answer. According to the Word of God, you're supposed to follow the Word of God and what His Word says, not what you think. It's what His Word says. And he says, you're not your own no more. You've been bought with a price. Not with, something that is of the ordinary. You've been bought with the holy blood of Jesus Christ. the Lord of Lords and King of Kings, the God of all, the universe. So we need to really look at this and see what the Word says. Don't go what I say. You go see what the Word says. You've been bought. He owns you. For me, I am a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ. He owns me. I'm a bond slave. I'm a willing bond slave. You know, and I know that. And Paul said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord Jesus Christ, you know? And if we think that we're going to tell God how to do what we say, we're gonna really miss it big time. And so I just want to bring that up and let you know that it's not your will, it's not your way, God's will for your life. You can't, you know, be gone and say, well, I'm in this area, I'm going to do it my way, and in this area, I'm going to do it this way, and then in this area, well, God, you don't mind, do you? It's like, well, read my word, you'll find out what my word says and what I see about that. Anyhow, so that's where, you know, we're at. And I'll share something else while we're, you know, here, with the time that we have left. I was moving a paper. Here's what God gave me, Holy Spirit gave me, just in February this year. Because, you know, people are crying for a great awakening, and I believe in God for a great awakening. I believe in God for a great revival, a great move of God. But this is what the Holy Spirit put into my heart. He said, hear the word of the Lord to my people and all people in all lands. I will bring forth a great awakening, and this will be of great cost. And you will say, what, Lord, is the cost? The cost would be by blood and sacrifice, a much fervent prayer and many tears. Well, guess what? There's people being martyred for the cause of Christ. There's children being martyred for the cause of Christ. Blood. Sacrifice. They're giving their life up because they refuse to deny Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. They're being put in prison and jail because they refuse to deny Jesus Christ as Savior and Lord. Their freedoms are being taken away from them because they will not turn back on Jesus Christ. Hello? And you look at the great revivals, the great moves of God. You look at Azusa. What did it start with, church? What did it start with, people? It started with prayer. And not no 5-minute message. Not no, five-minute prayer. And, oh, now I lay me down to sleep and pray, Lord, so my keep, oh, God bless us and keep us safe and blah, blah, blah. Amen. No, they were seeking God. They were crying out with tears, and they were fasting before the Lord because this was serious. They needed to see America be revived. They needed to see a mighty move of God. They needed to see a mighty move of God in England and over in Ireland and other places in the world that they were crying out to God. And God did it. But because, and look at Azusa. I mean, Azusa, you know, once again, much prayer. And we got to get back to that because, you know, what gets me is that we're in a situation where things are really, really, what word I want to use here, not good. If you go back, I mean, I'm going to be 60 in a few years, Lord's will. And I tell you, from when I grew up to what I see now, it's totally flip-flopped. You know, and the freedoms that we used to have and the things that we were allowed to have and do are gone. Slowly. Little by little. And the church has like, well, you know, as long as we get to play church and get to be in church and get to do our thing, God bless all, and whatever happens, the Lord will take care of it. Well, guess what? You know, they just sow the wind, reap the whirlwind. And America's about to reap the whirlwind. And we who are those who are called and redeemed of the Lord need to understand it. We, yeah, are saved by grace, and God's going to take care of us. But we need to stand We need to stand, battle tested and battle ready, full armor on, sword, sword and shield hand in hand, and the full body armor of God up on us, and ready to fight the works of the enemy, ready to attack the works of darkness that threaten, our very lives. And so I was going to share that part with you, which I did. But I wanted to go into one other area, and that's the first part of the tornado smash. And I need to find my glasses, there they are. Excuse me. And I to share just with you this part of when I talk about tornadoes, that they form legs and feet, and now we're attacking and going after people and killing them. And I said, okay, so here we are. And what does a tornado mean in the dream? Tornadoes, now I know that a tornado is powerful and very destructive, destroys everything in its path. And in the dream, 2010, there is a progress of progression. Dark clouds, funnel form, and tornadoes touching the ground. Tornado forms, arms and legs, by the tornado now are going after people, which we talked about a little earlier. So when you go to Habakkuk chapter 1, 1 to 11, the verse is talking about the Babylonians that swift like the wind, sweep their captives away, and sweep like the wind, and they are gone. Now let's consider the source who is behind all this, the devil and the demons, of course. Sounds familiar in the book of Jeremiah, chapter 39, verses 1 through 10. In that book, judgment has come. Now to Israel and the former Babylonians, and now they are destroying everything in their path. The scriptures say they slew King Zedekiah's son and nobles after they tried to flee from the Babylonians right before his eyes. And after they did this, they gouged out King Zedekiah's eyes and bound him in chains and exiled him to Babylon, never to see or ever go back to Jerusalem. What a very sad ending. All because they would not listen to the prophet that God was speaking through. They refused to heed the warnings that God would bring judgment if they continued to disobey and turn away from God. And they probably thought we can continue doing it our way because nothing's going to happen to us because we are right and the prophet that is wrong. And they paid the ultimate price for their disobedience. Sounds like what is happening now. We, the church, have allowed the devil to take from us certain freedoms and rights, and if we don't prepare and get ready to fight the spiritual battle now by reading God's word and praying and fasting and seeking the Lord with all our heart, how do we expect to stand when the storm comes? We must all realize that Satan is launching all assault any way he can. We must be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, and we must be soldiers ready to fight, steadfast, immovable, and unshakable in the army of the Lord, and by the power of the Holy Spirit and the word of God that is in our hearts, we will stand faithful in the midst of a storm. What a sad commentary. Think about it. Here, earlier, the 10 tribes, because of them living the way they wanted to do what they wanted to do, and because they were, of course, God's chosen people, and following false gods and disobedient, and they say, wait, we're Israel, we're Hebrews. No, that's going to happen to us. And God would send his prophets and say, you know what? You're out of my will. You're out of my word. You're doing things that are not pleasing in my sight. You need to turn and repent. You need to turn away from your sin. And they didn't do it. And they end up, going to captivity with the Assyrians. And here comes Jerusalem and Judah. They see what happened to the 10 tribes. And what do? They instead of repenting and turning to the Lord and following him and not following false idols and not going into false worship and following other gods and being disobedient to God's word, they continue doing the same thing and worse than the 10 tribes did. So God sends Jeremiah and he warns them and says, if you just repent, if you just turn from your sin, if you just follow me now, I won't bring judgment upon you. But if you continue doing what you're doing, keep on following these false gods, you keep on worshiping these gods, I will send you to the place and you will worship them. Whoa, boy, that's pretty deep, And God was like, but I don't want to do that. I want you to repent, ask forgiveness, and Turn from your wicked ways and follow me, Jehovah. You know, they wouldn't do it. You know, and finally, judgment came. You know, and Jeremiah kept on warning him and warning him and warning him and warning him and warning him, and they just wouldn't listen. They had their other prophets and false prophets and other people saying, oh, God says this and God says that and God says this, and God wasn't even in it. But they were trying to find somebody who had that would give them what they wanted to hear. They were trying to look for someone who would tell them that it's okay to sin. It's okay to be in sin. It's okay to follow false gods. It's okay to go into false worship. It's okay. God don't care. He loves you, you know, and he would never let anything happen to you. Well, guess what? It did. Seriously, it did. Because of disobedience. Because they were doing it their way and not God's way. Sounds like what's happening nowadays in the so-called churches. You know, churches are allowing things that just aren't no good. And I'll say it like it is. Homosexuality in the pulpit, it's not of God. Any church that claims, you know, that a person who's homosexual can be a minister of the gospel is not of God. And I'm going to throw something at y'all, because people will say, well, you know what, you know, that was the Old Testament and that, you know, you find this in the New Testament, in the book of Romans. I believe you find it also in the book of Titus, you know. But here's the thing, if you go to Revelation, and Revelation really points it out really clear, when Jesus said, I believe it, yeah, I'm pretty sure, yeah, it was him. He said, the fearful and the unbelieving, and whosoever maketh a lie, will have their part in the lake of fire. Hello? The fearful and the unbelieving, and whosoever maketh a lie. Reprobate means to believe a lie and be damned. So guess what? I mean, you people want to say, well, you can't say that, or you can't do this, or you know, you're saying something that is hate speech, and it's not. It's the word of God. You know, and the only reason I bring it up is to let people know that, you know, you can't do this and continue on living and saying you're a Christian, because Christian means Christ-like, you know. And he, like I said, you go to Revelation, and I mean, it's right there where Christ says, the fearful and the unbelieving, and whosoever maketh a lie, will have their part in the lake of fire. I mean, it can't get no clearer. And all these people who call themselves ministers and the fleece and the sheep, don't you think they're not going to be in trouble on that day? They are. And all the other ones who do this, you know, for fame and money and glory and power, well, you know what? One day, they're going to answer to the Creator. They're going to answer to God. They're going to answer to the boss. They're going to answer to the one who is over all creation and the universe. It ain't going to be a good thing if they don't repent. It's not going to be a good day for them. Anyhow, so we see what happened. Here, Zedekiah watches his son get murdered right before his eyes. It's the last thing he will see ever. Because he refused to listen to the prophet. He refused to listen to the man of God. He refused to listen to what God was speaking to Jeremiah. In fact, he's listened to the soothsayers. He's listened to the people who would say, oh, it's okay, continue in your sin. God is love. It's just fine. And guess what? The last thing that man would see, and it's a sad commentary. It's a sad commentary of a man's life who was a king. Though he was in position and put upon a position by the Babylonians, he still was the king. He'd be the last king. And the last thing this king would see was his son being put to death. How sad is that? For a man to see that and then the man have his eyes gouged, plucked out, whatever word you want to say, he becomes totally blind. He will never see Jerusalem. He will never see the kingdom that he was king over. Again, and he will be in chains and in bounds, and he will head to Babylon, and there he will die. Why? Because he wouldn't listen to the prophet of God. Well, hello, guess what? People aren't listening to the word of God now. And they're not listening to what the word is saying, or what the word of the Lord is saying through his ministers, his prophets now. And I mean, 40 years, I think it's 40 years, like I could be wrong, of legal abortion, called choice, all these babies that are murdered, all the blood that's been spilled, you don't think God's not going to take a look at that? I believe he is, and I believe it, and it's being poured in a cup. And you know what? The Bible says this. It says you reap what you sow. Sooner or later, as a tree falls, so shall it lie. We can't do nothing and get away with it. We're going to answer for it, each and every one, and I am too. I'm not singling myself out. I know. You know? And that's why I'm trying to help, you know, if you want to know that we need to get ready. We need to a wake up, you know, and arise and seek the Lord and pray and fast and read His word and cry out to Him and know the direction. I put it on Facebook. I've shared, you know, with the leaders and pastors. You know, open your churches up, people. Quit playing church. Quit having your little few five worship songs and then giving a nice little meeting and shake the preacher's hand and walk away. What's the priority here? What's the priority? If we know Jesus Christ is coming soon, if we know it could be any moment, any day, why aren't we living that way? Why? If you know you're about to go on a trip, you have your bags, you get everything ready, you know, you make a list. Well, we're going to need this, and we're going to need, you know, this, and this, and this, and this, 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 and money, and everything, right? And, well, let's get the car ready, and let's get it gassed up, and let's make sure the tires are good, and it has tune-up, and it's ready for that trip. You do this. You plan ahead. But what do you think we should be doing now, church? We should be planning and getting ready by doing what we're supposed to be doing in commission and called to reach the lost with Jesus Christ. And take a stand with the sword and shield in hand and the armor of God that God has given us and the authority to open the works of darkness. And intercede and supplicate, you know, for the lost and for the body of Christ, that the people will realize the moment, the time we're in. You know, you look at the situation, you know, with Esther and Mordecai, I believe it was. And he told her, you know the story, he said, you know, who knows, for this reason, you're here for such a time as this. And everybody reads that and they look at that and they say, wow, yeah, amen, but you need to look at the other part of the verse, or the verse behind that one, or underneath that one. It says, but if you don't do what you're supposed to do, God's going to find someone else. He will get this done. He'll do it with someone else. And that's what I'm trying to say. We have to understand that we got to do what we're called to do. God's going to find someone else to do it. And it's going to get done. Because He's going to have His will and His way. And that's the way it's going to be. And if He has to use children, if He has to use grandma and grandpa, then so be it. He's gonna get it done. So, you know, that's mainly what I wanted to share in this podcast is, you know, we need to wake up. We need to realize the signs of the storm are here. You know, and they're on the horizon, and the storm's on the horizon. And, you know, this is not a time to sleep, but it's a time to prepare and be in position, you know, and be in the will of the Lord and know the word and be battle-tested, battle-ready, so that as a soldier in the army of Christ, you can go to the front line. And support the weak and support those who are not that strong in the Lord and help them, you know, become and get that way, you know, by leading it and being an example in the body of Christ. And I, like I've said before, I believe that, you know, it's time we start, Open the church doors and at least have a Friday night prayer meeting. If you can't only go to midnight, then go to midnight. But if you can't, make it all night long and get it through, and have people come in and pray it, during the night. Like the churches that do that, but we need to become more corporate and get our churches, in this position of praying and seeking God. Because this is where the battle is. This is where the battle's fought. It's fought in prayer and in the Word. And when we're fasting and we're praying, we're seeking God in His Word, in His will. Guess what? Amen. We're gonna be ready, and we're gonna hear the Word of the Lord, and we're gonna be able to follow His instructions and do them. Well, anyhow, so I just wanted to share that with you. And if anybody's here that doesn't know Jesus Christ as Savior Lord, I would invite you to take this moment, to realize that there's nowhere to run, there's nowhere to hide. People say, I want to live my life. I'm going to do it my way. I'm not going to serve the God or serve the devil. Guess what? You're going to serve one or the other. You're going to serve the Lord, or you're going to serve the devil. You're going to serve to righteousness, in righteousness, or you're going to unrighteousness. You're going to live for God, or you're going to live for the devil. I mean, it's simple as that. Either you're either going to, follow Christ, or follow sin. And if you follow sin, you're a servant of sin. So you just got to realize, that the enemy, all he wants to do is destroy you. And, he wants to cheat you out of the opportunity that God's given you to receive Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. And I implore you, don't hesitate, don't wait any longer. Repent and receive Jesus Christ, Savior and Lord. You can pray this prayer with me if you want. And it's a very simple prayer, but the most important part about a simple prayer, or any prayer, is to make it from your heart. It's not just about Christ being your Savior, but He wants to be the Lord of your life. And you might say, well, there's so much wrong with me, and I'm a mess, and I don't know how God can love me. Well, He showed that. He proved His love to you by going to the cross. He proved it to you by being whipped. He proved that to you by being buffeted. He proved that to you, that you were worth it. He took your sins, my sins, everyone's sins, and hung it on that tree, and He became the sacrificial Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. And He did it for you and for me. So, this is very serious. And I don't want you to pray the prayer if you don't mean it, but I just want you the opportunity that if you do, it's very simple. All you got to do is say, Lord Jesus, forgive me all my sins. I realize I rebelled against you. I realize I ran and run away from you. I believe you are the Son of God, and I believe you are the one who has eternal life. And I just want to come now and repent and ask you to help me, to serve you and follow you and live for you. And make you not only my Savior, but the Lord. I surrender it all, and I receive you now as my Savior, Lord, in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. And if you prayed that prayer and you meant that from your heart, and God bless you. You're welcome to the family of God. And I would say to you that now you need to get a Bible. You need to get around people who know the Word of God and find a good church, that teaches the complete Word. And help you along in your Christian walk. And of course, we'll be here for you on the zone, you can get with me, like I said, on Facebook, or you can, write me on P.O. Box. But the most important part is that you get in the Word of God and you find out what God's saying to you and what you need to do to complete, not complete, but to completely follow Him. Amen. I just wanted to also add that, I'm honored that you listened to this podcast. The way we're looking at it, we're launching into the deep. I'm not really sure what I'm doing. I just know I'm opening my mouth and like God's filling it. And I'm praying and believing that the word that's coming out of me, that's coming from the Lord, is going to bless and people are going to realize this is the word of God, and that they're going to want to come with it, to a closer walk with Him. That's what this is all about, you know. And we just need to come together as one in the body of Christ and realize, you know, that we need each other. You know, the Lord told me a long time ago, and I knew it was Him. He said, you know, people build empires, but God builds people. He builds them from the inside out. And he takes that heart of stone and makes it a heart of flesh. And that's just a beautiful thing, knowing that our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. But we're not called. We're not called. None of us are called to get saved and to sit in a rocker, you know, or to, you know. And I'll share this with you. I told the Lord after I rededicated unto Christ, you know, in 1977. I see the evil, you know, that's out there, and I see how I've been trapped and how I'm now, you know, been set free by the power of God, and my eyes are open, and I want to go home. And He said, "You don't get out of here till you pay the price." I said, "What are you talking about? What price?" He said, "I didn't save you to take you out of here. I saved you to send you to those who are lost, to those who need to hear the gospel, to those who were in bondage and blind like you were." And so we're commissioned, each and every one of us, to reach the lost for Jesus Christ. Stand in the gap and believe God, you know, for souls, for our neighbors, for our friends, for our loved ones. You know, everybody, even the people we work for, we're not there for a paycheck. We're there for a ministry. We're there to be a light. We're there to show Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. That's what we're commissioned, each and every one of us. Don't, and I'll share this later, but I'm just going to give you a little bit. Don't put on the minister. The minister's responsibility is to give what God's given him or her. But then it's for you, as the body of Christ, to take that word, allow the Holy Spirit to nurture you in it and grow in it and live it before others, that they might see Christ in you. So I just wanted to share this all, you know, let you know that you are important. You are very important in God's eyes, and that God wants to use you for His glory. And it's not about it's not about Bible certificates or going to a Bible seminary, but who the Lord calls, He qualifies, and He's calling you. And, you know, and all you got to do is seek His face and let Him do a work in you. He'll do exactly what He said He will. He'll bring you up in the ways of the Lord through His Holy Spirit. So I just want to say that it's been a blessing, and I'm believing God that this broadcast went out and done what I'm believing it's going to do, and that'd be a blessing and encouragement. And I'm just praying that it worked. So with that, I'll say good night, good morning, and like I said before, remember, people build empires, and God builds people. He's building you and I for His glory. And God bless you all, and thank you. And like I said, I will find, if I can, real quick, the you can contact me through the P.O. Box or through Facebook, and you pray for me, and I'll be praying for you. God bless.